personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Welcome back, Lauren. This is the Liebcast, and we found Morty.
Morty.
I'm back.
He's better than ever, everyone. And you know what it was? He went across the street to get Dunkin' Donuts, and he said, "Hey, honey," and she goes, "No, we're sweetie over here."
No, she probably thought he was sexually harassing her.
Oh, she liked it. So, you know, it's not sexual harassment when it's welcome.
I don't think that's welcome.
That is true.
I got to tell you, she wrote him a little note on his cup last time, call him sweetie. I think any objective person would say when you get a thing that says sweetie on your cup, it's now welcome in the future.
Morty, I'd like the next time she says sweetie to you for you to say back something like honey to her, see how she responds.
Morty, more importantly, I think you should go on Parler right now and ask our Parler audience. Oh, you know what? You can't go on Parler right now. Did you see? First, they were shut off Amazon Web Service, Morty. They were paying $300,000 a month. Google Cloud, gone. IBM gone. They both, you know, Google Cloud and IBM said, we're not going to let you switch from Amazon Web Server to us. They're off Google, you know, the App Store. They're off the Apple App Store. And according to Reuters, exclusive, Parler CEO says social media app favored by Trump supporters may not return.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's insane. Well, I do have to say that my experience on Parler is kind of sickening, though.
Well, no, I'm actually kind of thrilled there Parler's gone. And you might be thinking I'm making a political statement like Lauren was. She goes, sickening. But I'm going to tell you what I think. It was just a drag as a business to have yet another channel.
Platform.
Like, there's too many platforms, y'all. Like, as a business, Instagram, you got a Twitter, you got a Facebook, you got a LinkedIn.
I can't handle it.
Yeah, what is, guys, we as a business community should narrow this down. But there are apps, Lauren, that I've been looking at where you push to all of them at the same time, which is really, really important to get your voice out. So, Morty, maybe we should put that out there because I want to make sure that you get the right therapy. Wellness. I'm caring about your wellness. As someone that works with me, you're a host of this radio show. You're around, Morty. You've been the chazaka, as we talked about. I want to make sure you're doing well. So if I was to incentivize you to go on one of these other websites, because there's no more Parler, and talk out your feelings about being called sweetie, do you think that's a good idea? Because I read, I don't know if you saw this, in Business Insider, they're reporting it all over, that Dollar General becomes the first retailer to announce plans to pay workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And I say, if Dollar General can pay you for COVID, I can pay you for social media therapy. Like, why can't we do this? This is some good stuff. I think that this is an important time, an important thing to think about. Because, but what, you know what's interesting, Lauren?
What?
They're to have to pay their employees to get the COVID vaccine. And you and I have been trying to jump through hoops.
Oh, my goodness.
Flip over obstacles.
I'm refreshing every single page, every single day. Hours of my life has been spent trying to get a vaccine appointment just for my parents.
Lauren and I are trying to get on a trial right now. What's the name of that company?
Novavax. And Morty.
Yeah, Mord. This Novavax trial, we're trying to get on that so we don't have to wait forever. And then on the same note, we got Dollar General paying their workers for a wellness. And so what's wellness? What are we talking about? They're doing it for COVID-19, but you may not know what I'm talking about. It would be smoking cessation programs, on-site fitness centers, bike sharing, massage therapy. You know, Google does that. They have 36, I think it is, 36 massage therapists. I should get a job there. Yoga classes, lunch and healthy snacks. We do that at our office. Support like stress, substance abuse, depression. Some places contribute if you're going to do races like Tough as Mudder or something like that. And so this whole wellness, we're in a wellness moment. And I've explained before that when you look at public health, there's three tiers of interventions. There is the tertiary intervention, which is like a surgery. There's the secondary intervention, which is like going to see your doctor and getting treated when things are going on. And then there's the primary intervention, which is to prevent the issue in the first place. And for all the people that don't believe in universal healthcare, all economic studies of healthcare have found that if you can force more people to do primary and secondary interventions, you save a boatload of money because you have less tertiary interventions for less time, which are the most costly.
So those huge surgeries that people get because they didn't go to the doctor originally to check out if there was something wrong that could have had an immediate resolution that turned into a catastrophic event costs the person ended up costing more in the long run.
100%. Because, like, think about it. Sometimes they can just be like, take this pill or stop eating red meat. This is a good example. Stop eating red meat. You have a high cholesterol, or take this pill for your cholesterol. You don't do it. Next thing you know, you're getting triple bypass surgery. You got to go to rehab. You're still at the hospital. Which one do you think costs more? So they say to them, let's get more people to go get Lipitor and go get, you see that endorsement? That was good.
How about just like a body scan for cancer, for skin cancer?
I don't know. But all these wellness things are like a big rage because companies that are into money, you know, these capitalists, realize that giving socialized medicine is the most capitalistic position that you can ever take. Let me say that again. Socialized medicine is the most capitalistic perspective. And I'll tell you another interesting one. Ready? Why do you think that's a good idea for an employer to pay for health insurance? Let's just think about that. If you're capitalistic, if you're a capitalist, you should be thinking to yourself, let people pay for their own damn health insurance. You know, like, why would the employer is taking away the R&D money, research and development money, and their business development accounts to pay for the health insurance as an ancillary benefit. So if you can reduce the cost to make it come out of the employee, that actually somehow makes it more capitalistic. And if it was on a governmental perspective, irrespective, we don't need to get into the politics of crazy. What we find is in today's America, big corporations get what I'm saying. And you can know that by walking into any big corporation, and you'll see they have fitness centers, they have bike sharing, they have, I see games like you could play ping pong. And you say to yourself, ping pong, how is that? Well, it's about mental health. And when people have better mental health, they're more productive.
I get a real workout when I play ping pong.
I'm with you. And it makes you healthier and your heart is healthier.
A ping pong injury when I play ping pong.
Well, that's just because I slammed on your head. So here's the thing, though. Another example of a wellness program is incentivizing people to go get a vaccine because the vaccine stops the spread of COVID. If all your employees got the vaccine, then you'd be less likely to have people missing workdays, which would make you more productive, which would make you have better product, which would make you have more money. So Dollar General is offering 4 hours, Morty. I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
4 hours of free pay for anyone to go get this thing. And I'm saying to myself, that sure sounds to me like, imagine someone who's working at Dollar General, not trying to stereotype, but I'm imagining these are not the people that are living on Billionaire Row. Like, I imagine that people that work
They're hourly employees.
They're getting 4 hours of work hourly. Is it really voluntary to offer an hourly wage employee 4 hours of free work, or is that more compelled? Is that like, do you feel like they lost their choice? Like, if you're living hand to mouth and someone offers you 4 hours of free money, how do you have a choice? Is there a meaningful choice? And interestingly enough, back in 2017, the federal courts in a case called AARP v. EEOC, EEOC is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the government.
Did you know that one, Lauren?
Yeah, Lauren.
I know it's employment.
All right. So, Morty, break down this AARP v. EEOC thing so we can understand, though, because I want to know. Here's a question. I put it on our blog, you know, the blog, the Lee blog. I put it on the blog. Here's my question. I wrote it on the Lee blog, and I want to know your answer to this. I want to know everyone's answer to this. I'm curious about this whole thing. According to Business Insider, Dollar General is paying their employees to get the COVID vaccine. But is that legal? Better yet, are they going to get sued? Is that discrimination? What's going on here?
So according to the American with Disabilities Act, Lauren, that's ADA, a wellness program is defined as something that requires an employee to either get a medical examination or to potentially disclose their disability, like a screening test prior to, let's say, getting a vaccine.
Okay.
And if what's being offered qualifies as a wellness program, you can only offer a certain incentive in order for it to be lawful. Because, like you said, Andrew, if the incentive is too large. It almost becomes involuntary, and a wellness program has to be voluntary under the law.
Back in that AARP v. EEOC case, it wasn't like this was an arbitrary thing going on the American with Disabilities Act or the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. It wasn't like an arbitrary thing. It was HIPAA as well that was involved. It wasn't an arbitrary thing about the amount of the incentive. There was actually a regulation, Morty, that said that employers could give up to 30% of the cost of self-only coverage. 30%, like Morty says. 30%. And what the court found is they said 30%, it wasn't 30% of salaries, 30% of the cost of self-only coverage. They said that that number made it that it was no longer voluntary. And they said that number made violations of the American with Disabilities Act and the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. And they said by doing that, there could be lawsuits, discrimination lawsuits against companies that were doing this. And, you know, ironically, always when one thing happens, another thing happens, we always tell you how current events impact business and real estate. And it got some current events. It's not just that Dollar General is doing this. It's not just that Dollar General can get sued. EEOC, again, Lauren, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they are now putting out a new regulation, a new proposed regulation, actually two of them. One with respect with the American with Disabilities Act and one with respect to the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. And they're addressing this voluntariness thing with respect to wellness programs. So if you're an employer, maybe you're not Dollar General size. Maybe you're more like Nickel General size. And you're Nickel General. And I always said that when I was in law school, there was a guy that family owned a mega company that's on every rack in every supermarket. Mm-hmm. And my father owned a general practice law firm, him and another lawyer. And people would always go to us and they'd be like, well, you're both your dad's own businesses. In law school, that's what people say in law school. And I'd go, yeah, he owns Domino's. I own a Domino's. There's a big difference. Like, but anyway, so maybe you're not Dollar General big. Maybe you're just Nickel General. And so you're thinking to yourself, Lieb's right. I want to have more primary interventions. Because then I'm going to have less healthcare expense. I'm going to have less people missing work, less people sick, because the economics, and if you were to check any public health publication, public health and economics, you would find that doing more universal healthcare actually is economically positive for a nation. Now, maybe not for an individual, but for the actual country, it comes out positive. And when I say universal healthcare, I'm not getting into whether it should be a Medicaid expansion. I'm not getting into whether it should be government. I'm not getting into whether it should be from health insurance companies. That's for people that are into being Democrats and Republicans. I'm just saying that if everyone had access to healthcare, there would be less healthcare expense. That's my only point here. So maybe you're a guy or a gal that owns a company. And maybe you're saying to yourself, I can't affect the government. Like, Biden's not going to listen to me. The Trumpster, Mitch McConnell, Nancy, Chuck, they're not talking to me. Even people in my state, whether it be Cuomo, de Blasio, whoever your guy or gal is. Maybe you're a Tom Suozzi guy. I don't know. They're not going to listen to me. I'm not going to change this healthcare debate. But if I offer incentivizations at work, I'm going to get more productive workers that are more healthy. So maybe, as Morty says, he's going to have a ping pong table so you can get his sweat on. Maybe we're going to put out some fresh fruits because people eat fresh fruit are healthier than people that are eating fried chicken every day. Like, it's just a thing that's better. And so you're listening to this thing and you're saying, you know what? What I should do is Dollar General. I read this thing, Dollar General. They're going to incentivize workers to get the vaccine. If everyone in my job gets the vaccine, if I incentivize them, it's worth it to me to spend 10 grand to give people in my business money to make them want to do this. That's maybe your takeaway, because I got to tell you, as a business owner, I'm always thinking like this. Like, I drove to Tannersville, Pennsylvania, because I was going to go skiing. I was going to go in Camelback, snowboarding, actually, because I'm not a loser.
Hey, skiing is better.
Yeah, right there. So we went to the POW, and when I'm driving, I look at other shopping centers, because I own a shopping center, and I say, what are they doing? What should I do? I look at other office buildings, because I own an office building, and I say, what are they doing? I'm always on the lookout for what my competitors are doing. I read Business Insider all day, every day. I get the subscription. You should too. Great publication. See, I've endorsed two products so far on the show. I want my endorsement royalty checks. Although the first one, I don't think we should be getting the credit for the endorsement because it was pharmaceutical and there's all sorts of disclosures if you're really doing it. You were a pharmaceutical salesperson. No, what'd you do?
I helped the advertising companies do it.
Oh, so you're the consultant that would have said, if I did that, we're going to get a violation from the FDA.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want that. So I didn't endorse the pharma people. Forget that one. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm always on the lookout. So I see this thing from Dollar General. Maybe you're like me. And you say, I want to do this incentivization. But Morty, the EEOC just proposed a new regulation about what voluntary means. So I say to myself, I want to know what they're proposing. I know it's not in effect yet, but I want to know what they're proposing. And maybe I want to go on the EEOC's website. I don't know if you know. You can go on to regulations.gov. And if you went to RIN number 3046-AB10, you can make your comments known of what you think about the EEOC's new regulation. But they're now defining what voluntary is because we clearly know based on that court case that 30% of the cost of self-only coverage is not voluntary. So the question is, in plain English, I want to make people take vaccines in my work because I know it's better for my business because I'm a capitalist. But I know that there was a court case back in 2017 that said it's no longer voluntary if you give an incentive up to 30% of the cost of self-only coverage. So what is the cap of my incentive that I can give without getting sued for discrimination under the ADA? What is the cap that I can do under GINA, the other Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act? What can I do? So Morty, I know you want to go. Tell me.
So the proposed standard is de minimis. That's the standard for how big the incentive can be.
And I love that word, Morty.
You might imagine is small. Yeah. And they give an example of providing a water bottle.
So I just want to point out, no one I've ever met, government, I'm talking to you at the EEOC, beyond my legal world, I've never heard someone say the word de minimis.
Oh, I use it all the time. And if my wife doesn't give me enough for dinner, I say this is de minimis.
That's only when we're talking about brisket, man. That's the way to go.
I like that.
But so I think they lose employees, society at large when they use words like de minimis. But you just said the more important thing. A water bottle would qualify. So here's my question. Is 4 hours of free work the same as a water bottle? And you're a Dollar General, so you got to imagine the water bottle costs a dollar. So I'm imagining, based on minimum wage, they're given what, Morty? How many water bottles are we getting? 40?
Yeah. It says a water bottle. It doesn't say, you know, a lifetime supply of water bottles.
It also said a gift card in the examples, but what was interesting, if you read into it, they used, and it didn't say, it wasn't like overtly stated, but they said a $10 gift card. That was one of the points where it said in the arguments. And again,
three or four water bottles.
Yeah. So it seems to me that even if you gave a $10 gift card, $10 minimum wage, 4 hours, it seems to me like Dollar General is doing something naughty. And I don't know if they're going to get sued on a class action from doing something good, but it very likely they could. That's what I'm getting from this, because every day workers are getting more protections. And someone said to me, they said it to me in a conference room here the other day. They go, what is a guy or gal that owns a small business to do that can't keep up with all these laws? And you know what I said to them? Don't have a small business. That's the answer. I don't mean to be the jerk.
Very optimistic.
No, you either option A, need to follow everything and know what you're doing. Option B, you can outsource. You can hire an employment lawyer. You can hire a payroll company. Like, there's things you can do. Option C, you have to take a heck of a lot of risk where you can get sued all the time. Option D, you got to go work for someone else. Why do you think everyone doesn't own their own business? Why do you think everyone has jobs? Why do you think there are employers and employees? Because it's hard to be the employer. Everyone likes to say, employer does nothing and they get all sorts of money. They also have all sorts of losses. Imagine being an employer right now. I always say this to my friends that runs a nightclub in the middle of a pandemic. Like, there's risk being an employer. There's challenges being an employer. But I believe in being an employer. I believe in being a manager. But part of your job is to keep up with compliance on this type of thing. So Dollar General should be ringing up a good employment lawyer and figuring out this incentive and figuring out. I hope they're commenting on the EEOC thing, because we are in the era, Morty, of employees getting more rights. Just this week, I think it was maybe a week and a half ago, New York City changed all the rules for fast food employees too. Did you know, Lauren, that you can't fire a fast food employee in New York City without just cause anymore?
So if they smell, I can't fire them?
Lauren, you can't fire them just because you don't want to have the employee there. You need just cause. It's insane.
Well, if they... If they smell it, that could potentially be just cause if you have a policy, a good hygiene policy, and progressive discipline has been applied. But now there's so many more hoops that you have to go through before you can fire an employee in the fast food business. As you know, Andrew, the default rule for employment is at will, meaning the employer or the employee could terminate the employment relationship for any reason with or without cause. This changes that for the fast food industry in New York City. So this is a big deal. And, you know, I imagine that New York State is going to consider doing this for at least some industries, because, as you know, they have the Democrats have a veto-proof majority now in the New York State legislature. So I think there's likely more to come of this.
I know that we're low on time, Morty, but you wrote an article about this recently that's being published in the Suffolk Lawyer. Is that true?
I did.
So, and you could find that by just Googling the Suffolk Lawyer. It's on the Suffolk County Bar Association website. I don't know if it's published yet, but you submitted it very recently, so it should be up very soon. So if you run a fast food establishment in New York City, you're going to need to read this article and understand the rules, because it's not just you can't fire them without just cause. It's if you want to do layoffs, there's rules about who you have to lay off in different orders, how you do this thing. There's rules about arbitration. And more importantly, I'm more a trend guy, if you're noticing what I'm saying. What do I mean by I'm more of a trend guy? I'm telling you, and Morty said it too, that we don't see this just in New York City. This is going to be a thing. Like, this at-will employee thing is going to be a thing of the past. It's going to be at-will employee if, as opposed to at-will employee except. What do I mean by that? Right now, it's at-will employee except if you have an employment contract, except if you're a fast food worker in New York City. In the future, we're seeing it to be, what, aren't there countries where you're like it guaranteed to work? That's where we're seeing the future going. So I think people need to read into this and understand, because this is going to be across industries. And if you are an employer in New York City, fast food, Lauren, I want to see nothing but a water bottle being given to your people to get COVID.
And COVID vaccine.
Yeah, not the COVID.
Not trying to get them COVID.
And then I also want to make sure that you don't let them be fired unless you have just cause. This is our last segment that we're doing before Biden's inauguration. So I just want to say to my friends out there, we're about to turn a new leaf, a new era. We have a chance. It's a change, whether you like it or you don't like it. I remember every year at the end of elementary school, of middle school, of high school, of college, and I got a chance to reset. One of my least favorite things about being an adult, adulting it, is that there's no more summer recess, unless you're a teacher, I guess. But teachers work over the summer, and it's a whole other story for another day. But I want to reset. So let's make this Biden transition less about Biden, less about Trump, less about the government, and more about us. This is the line of demarcation in the sand. This is our chance to reevaluate our life, to change our life, to grow, to expand, and to stay with the Leapcast. Have a great, great week. We'll see you next week.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.